Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Today, the Father's Heart, special Father's Day message. We do have notes for you, which will be passed around shortly. Let's go ahead and read the text. Luke 15, find verse 11. If you're all there, say, woohoo. All right, here we go. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. But not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, and he came to his senses. He did what? He came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother's come, he replied, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But now this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, and you kill the fatted calf for him? My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Whew. Father, speak to us by your spirit and your word, as I know you already have and what you did in the first service. Now do in the second. Release your power upon your people that we would never be the same as a result of your word. Once again, hide me behind your cross. Use these lips of clay to burn faith in everyone's heart. May we never be the same. May the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity. And when we leave and are done and say amen, may we all know that you have spoken to us. Correct distortion, release your power, release your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three or four people and say, oh, get ready. And then you may be seated. There's a couple different parables that are favorites for people. This is certainly one of them. And notes are being passed out, and we give you notes so that you may fill in the blanks. We'll put the answers on the screen. You can take this home. You can use it as a Bible study. You can pull it out later, 6 months from now, and teach somebody else. It helps you to remember and to recall and to press down into your heart the truth that I'm going to preach to you this morning. Parables. Jesus spoke in parables to hide truth from casual observers. He's not obligated to talk to you. So we come to church today. I'm glad you did. But he's not obligated to do anything for us, but he does because he's kind and he's loving. He spoke parables to hide truth, but to reveal truth to those who are hungry and thirsty. The Good Samaritan is, along with this one, probably the two favorite parables that Jesus shared. When he shared them, understand the context. Understand he's not in some Gentile nation talking to a bunch of pagans. He's talking to a group of Jews. So when he shares this parable, I want you to imagine, and I'm going to help you, I want you to imagine that the hearers are hearing from a Middle Eastern perspective. And I need to say, the first time I heard this passage, I was young in the Lord, and I was being preached to and ministered to by my pastor, still my pastor, the senior global pastor, Dr. James Morocco, and it impacted me. I remember weeping through the service, and you might find yourself doing the same. And the original outline I have borrowed from him and made it my own. Somebody said, is that right? Sure. I milk a lot of cows, but I make my own butter. Come on, somebody say amen. Understanding this text from a Middle Eastern perspective, there's three characters, the younger son, the older son, and the father. Those are the three we'll focus on. Of course, there's servants and different ones, but younger son, oldest son, and the father, the three characters that we're going to look at. The younger son, when he said, give me my share of the estate, what he's really saying is, hey, dad, why don't you just kick the bucket? Why don't you just, whatever you got in the will for me, why don't you just give it to me now? You know, if you would be dead, I'd rather have the stuff. Just give me my stuff. It's just horrible. I wish you were dead. He was demeaning and dishonoring his father. I mean, in a horrible way. And you have to know that when he was to do that, the Jews would be listening and just be like, it's unheard of for that to happen in Jewish culture. Give me what's mine. Give me what's mine. What unmitigated gall. What's yours? Listen, punk, I brought you into the earth. None of it's yours. But he saw it as mine. Gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. He was bound by greed. Gimme what's mine. He had greed, bound by greed. And he didn't see that everything was his, including his life. The father participated in bringing that young boy into the world. But the boy didn't see it that way. He didn't care who he hurt. He was selfish. He said, where do you get that from? Well, simply, if someone was to ask for their entire inheritance right now from you, you might have bonds and stocks. You might have some land. You might have a portfolio. I don't know. But in that day, they didn't have bonds and stocks. They mostly had land and livestock. So if you were to say, give me my share of the inheritance, not only is it dishonoring and disrespectful and selfish and is he bound by greed, but he doesn't care who he hurts. The servants that worked the fields he had to sell. He had to take all of the inheritance, cut it in half, sell off all the land, sell off all the livestock. And that took a minute. It took a little while. Then he gave his son all of it, gave his son the inheritance, and he took it and went to Vegas. He squandered it. He went off to a faraway country. He went to a place of wild, wild living, and he squandered it. He was a self-centered man. He only thought of the future. He only thought of his present happiness. And in time, he found, like many of you have discovered, and I certainly discovered long ago, that the passing pleasures of sin has pleasure for a season, but in the end, its reward is death. The payoff, the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 11, Moses rejected being the son of Pharaoh so that he could be connected with the people of God, rather to enjoy, instead of enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, he wanted to be connected and associated with his people. Sin has passing pleasure. Oh, it has pleasure, but then in the end, yeah, so circumstances change for the lad. Imagine that. Famine comes, he blows all his money. Famine comes into the land. And we don't really understand this as mostly a Gentile church here. There are some messianic believers, some Jews here who've received Jesus as Messiah, and you could relate to this. Maybe you're raised in a Jewish home. But if you weren't, you don't really know the meaning of it. So I'm going to help break it down for you. He went and fed the pigs. For a Jew to go feed pigs, it's the darkest, deepest, ugliest, lowest place you could possibly go. It's considered unthinkable. Jews don't eat bacon. How many of you are glad that the book of Acts, the sheet was let down and the Lord said, eat bacon. Amen. All right, I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but he fed the pigs, and in feeding the pigs, he longs to eat the slop. I fed pigs when I was in my 20s. I used to go and help a pig farmer. You ever seen what they eat? That nasty, nasty. But you know, when you're hungry, I almost ate cat food on day 37 of a 40-day fast. When you're hungry, you'll eat anything. Come on, someone. So he wanted to eat from the pigs, and his need brings him to his senses. Thank God that you, when we face difficulty and dark times, it brings us to an awareness. Oh, God. And so he comes to his senses, and he decides to return to his father and repent. And humbled himself. He returns. He makes a plan. A lot of people make plans, but this boy made a plan and got up and did it. Seen people come have a thought about making a plan and they never follow through. He comes to his senses. Somehow, the pain of his circumstances awakens him to the reality of a better life. And you might be here right now. I'm gonna tell you, if you're in a painful situation, a difficulty, you're online, I don't know what you're going through, but let the pain move you, draw you close to God, because in the midst of your pain, he can take your problems and make them into opportunities. He can take your difficulty and use it as a springboard to bring you into promise and fulfillment. He can take difficulties, turn it all around. Come on, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can you say amen? It is said by one preacher that if you come to the end of the line, go back up the tracks and find out where you got off track. He'd come to the end of the line, and he goes back to the place where he got off track, and he realized how great he had it at his father's house. I remember moving out and having it on my own. I get to pay, you know, can't wait to get out, can't wait to just be on my own. Then you're on your own, you have to pay for everything. He had it good at his father's house. That's the younger boy, the prodigal he's called. The older brother, why would Jesus even mention the older brother? The second character is the older brother. By the unwillingness to come to the celebration, instead standing outside, he's making a statement. So the younger brother comes. We'll talk about the father and him running and seeing afar off and all of that in just a moment. But the younger brother comes in, the one who's lost is now found. A great celebration ensues. The older brother's doing his chores, working for the family farm. He comes in and he's like, what's all the music? They're like, your brother's home. He's like, what? He's so angry and he doesn't go into the celebration. And by doing that, he's dishonoring his father just like the younger brother did. He's basically saying, my dad's crazy. My father's crazy. What kind of a moron would accept that dirtbag, that pig, bacon-eating? Who would accept? I can't believe you've done that, Dad. You need to have your head examined. He totally came against his father. I'm dishonoring my father. And I'm dishonoring him. And I don't forgive my brother. And I'm not going into the celebration because you have lost your ever-loving mind. He He's just like the younger brother. He's the older one. He's the older one that has issues. And I'm dishonoring my brother and I'll not forgive him. Look at verse 30 with me. The older brother says to the father, when this son of yours... Notice he doesn't call him his brother, this son of yours. He's disowned him. He's disowned him and he doesn't forgive him. Listen, you might have somebody like that in your family. You better shake some sense into yourself and realize for the grace of God, go you. You know, I would never do that. Uh-huh. I've heard people say that. For the grace of God, go I. So I would never feed pigs or eat bacon. You understand the illustration. I mean, think about the lowest of low. What would be the lowest of low for you? The older son's heart is revealed. He saw his serving his father as slavery. I've been slaving for you. He doesn't even know his dad. I've been slaving for you. He saw serving the father as slavery, like some Christians do. Let me run that through again. Somebody said to me, being a Christian's hard. I know what hard is. This isn't it. No, you need to change his whole perception. He had a distorted view on God, totally distorted. And his distorted view is causing him to live a life of bitterness, unforgiveness, and pain. And there's really no relationship between the older son and the father. He doesn't know the father's heart, as I just said. And he's self-centered, just as self-centered as the younger brother. Exactly. And you just never hear messages on the older brother. He's the guy that never left church, never went to Vegas, never went to the prostitutes, never ate the pork. Stayed in church, but doesn't know the joy, doesn't know the love, doesn't know the freedom, doesn't know the exuberance and the celebration of being in the Father's house, has no idea. Is a religious Pharisee, couldn't see, wouldn't see person who, I've been in church all my, I've been in the way my whole life. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're in the way. Maybe you need to move out of the way and really find out who the heart of the Father is. You need to get healed. Lift your hands to heaven all across the place and say, oh, Jesus. The waiting father, he's afar off. He's looking for the son. I don't know if you've, has anybody ever glassed for moose? Hunting season's coming. I was talking to somebody just the other day and, by the way, I'm not wearing women's clothing. I was just reading in the book of Deuteronomy that wearing women's clothing, if you're a man, is detestable. Just thought I'd throw that out. This is a picture of a Middle Eastern garment. The father's looking for the son. He's glassing. Come on, you ever try to find a mountain goat, a bighorn sheep? I mean, you have to glass and glass and glass. That's the picture. Just, is there one up there? But it's different. Just imagine if you're looking for your son who was lost and he could come over the horizon at any moment. That is the picture. I imagine him going out after, you know, some figs and hummus and whatever they ate for dinner. And I imagine him just standing out there. Ah, God, bring him home. Oh, God, imagine day after day after day, him praying. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. I imagine him crying out to God, send my son, send my daughter, send my child back. That's the picture. Now, the father represents the father. He cries out. The father's looking for the son to return, and the father was publicly dishonored by the younger son's actions, yet he still looked for him. By now, you're beginning to relate this to yourself. Perhaps you're a prodigal. Perhaps you're an older brother who's been in the house of the Lord, but you lost your joy and you're angry and you just on fire. Christians that are filled with joy irritate the life out of you and you just want everybody to calm down for God's sake. The father reaches to you, reaches to the prodigal, looks for him to return, that it's the love of God. It's the love of God that looks for people to return. And when the father saw his son, he's filled with compassion, the text says. Compassion, sympathy feels bad for somebody. Oh, poor thing. Oh, that must be difficult. Compassion feels the pain of somebody else. We lost a son many years ago. If we get near anybody who just loses a baby or loses a son, it's not hard for us to weep and join in with the suffering and then declare the turnaround, because we have compassion. We know what it's like to cry until you have no more tears. We know what it's like. Know what it's like to be separated. Know what it's like to be a prodigal. How many of you know what it's like to be a prodigal? I had a brother out by the hamburger stand, weeping, saying, "I was a prodigal." He said, "Me too." He said, "Glory to God." I said, "Glory." Don't ever forget. He had compassion on him. He ran to his son. He throws his arms around him and he kisses him. He was aware. Look at your notes. He was aware of what would happen if he didn't get to his son first. So understand, Middle Eastern perspective, the son has caused his father to sell half of all the land, all the livestock, liquidated everything. The youngest son blows everything. Now he comes back. People lost their jobs because of him. The family was dishonored because of him. And really, Levitical law, because of what he did, he should just be stoned. He should be killed. So the father runs to him to protect him from humiliation, publicly humiliated, and at worst, death. So it's a big deal, him running. And the father kissed him and hugged him despite all the smell and all the stench that he was in. But it's this next part that gets me. Imagine a very stately man, an older man, a prosperous man, a dignified man, would have a garment not entirely unlike this one. It is very hard to run in a garment like this. You just can't, quite bring your leg. You can't get a stride. You look at Elijah. When Elijah went after the chariot, it says that he tucked his garment into his belt. It's a picture of raising his garment and tucking it in his belt. Why? So he can run. So when it says here that the father ran, he lifted his garment, exposing his thigh. Man, I'm wearing pants, praise God. But exposing his boxers, okay? Exposing it, very undignified for an older man to do that. Number one. Number two, to run, servants run. Kings don't run. Servants run for king. But he runs after his son. He runs and he grabs him. And he protects him from all the people. It's a picture of Jesus. It's a picture that God, the King of Kings, stepped out of eternity into time and space to bear the shame, naked. He hung there. He didn't have a cute cloth around him on the cross. He was naked, exposing his shame, crucified for you and me. It's a picture. Jesus is sharing this parable of what the Father's heart is like. Paul writes in the book of Philippians that he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself and became a servant. And he restores his son and he holds a celebration. He has a party, kills a fatted calf, and has a giant party. You know what that's a picture of? Now what? Church. It's a picture of what this place is. This place is filled with prodigals, filled with people who've come, who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is a place of homecoming. This is a place where somebody said, "You guys are just too happy." Actually, we had somebody say that. They walked in and said, "This can't go to your church." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Is everything okay?" "Oh, it's just too happy." I was gonna apologize, but I mean, are you gonna apologize for joy? Well, I mean, Let's pray we're more depressed. Some people think that depression and being somber and emotionless is holy. That's a bunch of religious. This is sign language. Bull. You got it. That's actual sign language. Oh, we just need to. So quiet you can hear a stinking Jolly Rancher being unraveled. My God, did he set you free? Did he heal you? Can I get somebody to shout in here? Did he deliver you? Come on! You were lost, you were broken, you were bound, you were come on, somebody. Sorry. Just got healed right there. Do you feel that? Wow. You ran. You reconciled. Celebration. The father has to leave the celebration. He has to leave the celebration to go get the older brother who's outside in rebellion. And he goes outside and does the same thing for the older brother. It's amazing to me. The oldest son accuses the father of being a hard taskmaster and being prejudiced. Accuses him of being a slave owner. And to you who've been faithful to the Lord, but you lost your joy. You lost the exuberance. You lost the joy of your salvation. Come home. Come home. Come home to the Father's love. Come home to him. Come home. Don't be outside bitter and angry. If it irritates you when people are exuberant about their love for God. Oh, there he goes again. My gosh, I wish he would just control himself. I had somebody pat me on the leg early on in my walk, patted me on the leg and said, love your zeal, honey. You're in that honeymoon stage with Jesus. Don't worry, you're gonna calm down and you'll end up twice as dead as me. Well, they didn't say that, but you know something? Somebody said to me, you know, I figured out how to define you, Pastor Daniel. I said, oh, okay. I didn't know what they're gonna say. They said, you got saved and you like never got over it. You're right. You don't ever want to get over being born again. You don't ever want to get over being saved and delivered and set free. You don't ever want to be the fuddy-duddy sitting in a pew all your life, the frozen chosen, no fire, no zeal, no passion, no sacrifice, no, come on. Don't get set free today. Get set free today. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, reflecting on the Father's heart. Individually, we see ourselves as either of these two sons, the younger son, the Father waits for you to turn, or the oldest son, the Father waits for you to turn. And his love, as my trio comes, his love protects, that would be Minister Toby, Daniel, and Pastor Alex, would you please come? That's my trio, thank you so much. His love protects, reconciles, restores, and moves us to forgiveness. Moves us to forgiveness. And we're to celebrate because heaven celebrates when one sinner comes into the house. Heaven celebrates when one person receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Heaven rejoices, the Bible says. Angels look in on the things of salvation. Angels look in on the things of salvation. So here in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with God for the first time, or perhaps recommit because you lost your first love. And you know what's happening? You know what's beginning to happen as I'm talking to you right now? Angels. Seriously? Well, that's what the Bible says. Somebody said, I can feel them. Praise the Lord. I don't know what that feels like necessarily for you, but you don't have to. I said, you don't have to feel them. I'll just tell you, theologically, angels. Like now, right now. celebration. That's what this is. That's what this place is. We're to celebrate. As a church, we're to witness. When's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you invited somebody? It's hard to share and invite somebody to a feast that you're not having. See, if you don't know the Lord like that, if you've not been set free and you've not been delivered or liberated and there's no joy, and all you do is go through religious motions, I think you're better off than somebody who's not going through the motions, because hopefully you'll hear a message like this and get set free from religion and tradition and serve God with all your heart and be healed. But there's more. There's more. There's more than if you're feeling like the older son. Well, how come God doesn't do any miracles for me? Maybe he's pruning you and you're not responding well. We're to witness, we're to pray. Share your faith. Come on, so invite people. And you are. That's how we're growing. We do these big events and we have conferences. We'll do all that. But you know how this church grows? Not so much by any of those things. It comes by you talking to somebody and saying, dude, you need to come. That big place on the hill with fire. Come, something's happening. My life was changed. Oh, that's how we grow. One-on-ones, biggest way. Relational evangelism. Oh, we're knock on doors. We're going to do all that. We're going to visit every home for Christ. We're doing that. We're visiting every home in the state of Alaska. It's a process. It's going to take us a while, but our commitment is to do it. We're to witness. We pray. Everybody say, we pray. We pray. 7 days a week, there's a prayer. There's prayer here, prayer center here. We're going to grow that. We're going to expand that. One day we'll have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We give, why? Because it's about reaching the lost. It's about turning hearts. It's about turning prodigals back. It's about releasing the love of God to a community, to a nation, to a people. We're to encourage one another. And we celebrate. Would you, gentlemen, sing this song for us? Go ahead, open up your heart to the Spirit of God as he touches you now. Go ahead and sing it.
Run to the Father, fall into grace, done with the hiding, reason to wait. Heart needs a surgeon, soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
In preparation for this message, I had a number of supernatural things happen to me to confirm that I was to preach this text. I think the year was 2004. My father had come to visit me on the island of Kauai. He'd never been in church, my church, before. He was there for 2 weeks. On the second week, I invited him to come. It was in October, I remember. Happened to be, on that day, Pastor Appreciation Sunday, which I did not know. And the gracious, loving people of Kauai, and a part of the church there at King's, just like you all just came and just blessed us and gave us, I mean, we just had all these gifts piled. My father's like, what's going on, man? Like, I don't know. He was touched by that. And I preached from this text. I preached from this text because the night before, as I was weeping, saying to the Lord, I said, God, if you could just give me the word, if you could just give me a word to preach, my father's gonna get born again. I'm going to preach on generational sin. That's what I'm going to preach on. Like, the Lord's like, no. I'm going to preach on curses. That's what I'm going to preach on. Yes. I'm going to preach on hell. That's what I'm going to preach on. No, son, you're not. And I start weeping in my total lack of knowing what to preach on that Sunday with my father, who I want him to be so proud of me, even though I got delivered from having that. I'd gotten delivered, but now it would be a beautiful cherry on top that my dad would be proud of me. I never felt that he was. And I was a prodigal without going into all that. So I started weeping. I broke before the Lord. Help me, God. And I go into a vision. And in the vision, I see the prodigal son message, the whole thing. I see the whole thing laid out. And I come out of that vision. I realize, oh my gosh, I'm preaching the prodigal son message. I preached from this text. When I closed, I gave an opportunity for people to give their hearts to Jesus, which I'll do in just a moment, just like I did all those years ago, 20 years ago, almost. And when I was closing an opportunity to give your heart to Christ, I saw my father look to me, raised his hand. I thought, oh my God, I was so freaked out. My father's raising his hand to receive Jesus. And I led everybody in the sinner's prayer and we praised, I dismissed, we closed. I was so undone that I couldn't let go of the pulpit. I was holding on to the pulpit because I'm just thinking, God, you did it. You did it, God, you did it. You did it, Lord, you did it. And I'm just trying to get hold of myself. Half the church was weeping because they're staring at my father. Is he gonna get saved? Is he gonna get saved? How many of you know what that's like? Like, did he raise his hand? He raised his hand, yes. I step off, we had stairs back then. I step down and my father runs at me from the front, throws his arms around me. He's weeping into my neck, crying. And he says, I was a terrible father. And I said, no, you weren't, Dad. He says, yes, I was. And I thought, yeah, okay, okay, yeah. He's weeping and crying. And I had forgiven him already, but I was able. He said, please forgive me, please forgive me. And I said, I forgive you, Dad. I'd already forgiven him. It's a beautiful moment. All these years later, I'm in my place of study this morning. I'm weeping because of that story and the power of God resting on me. So I was lost, I was so lost. He saved me. He saved me. It just doesn't get old for me. As I'm weeping, I get a phone call from my stepmother. Long story short, they're in New York. They don't live in New York. They live in Florida. I fly to New York tonight. I go to New York tonight to go look at a church with Pastor Gill, and I fly right back. I'll be preaching Wednesday. And it just so happens that I'm in the same place that they are, and I get to have lunch with my father tomorrow, who I've not seen in 5 years because of COVID and other personal reasons. They're meeting with me. I'm gonna share a meal. It's a sign and a wonder that God is healing the broken, restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children. God's able to stand up on your feet. God's able to do it for you. He's able to heal you. Oh, come on, sing. With all your heart, all of you, lift your voice and sing to Him. Come to the Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
Hey, now I want the other song.
It's who
I want the other one. Sorry.
Come to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding.
Come on.
No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again.
Close your eyes, lift your voice.
I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Before we turn you loose to the Hamburger Shack and bless you and all that, I'm gonna ask you to take a step of faith. If you need healing in your relationship with your children in a moment, I'm gonna ask you to come, father or mother. You need healing with your parents at any level, I'm gonna ask you to come. If you've been touched, because you know, sometimes you know you live a little while, then your parents pass, and you still might have the wound of a broken-hearted little boy. You can be healed. Or maybe today through this message, the veneer's been pulled back and you realize you weren't a really good father. You did not model what it is to be like Christ and you failed. We all fail. Repent. Start over today. We're gonna sing it again. with everything you got. If that's you, there, listen, signs follow the preaching of the word. I've preached you a strong word about restoration, reconciliation, fathers to sons, sons to fathers, but it also goes mothers to daughters, daughters to mothers. It's a word of healing. It's a word of the heart of the Father. If you've been touched at any degree and you need God to do a miracle for you, when they sing, step out from where you are, meet me here, it'll be the last thing we do.
Run to the Father, I fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding.
Put some feet to your face.
My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again.
Whole worship team, please, drums, everybody.
I run to the Father,
right up the stairs, hustle, 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 hustle.
I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and
come on,
again,
sing with us.
And again and again. Oh, oh, oh.
Release your healing power right now in Jesus' name. And prodigals returning. I pray a great revival to ensue in healing broken men and broken women and broken sons and daughters. Release your healing power because you are the good Father. You're the one, the Father who runs. You're the one who so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on you would not perish but have everlasting life. So thank you that you modeled that for us. May we model it for others. In the name of Jesus. So many weeping. Just let him touch you. He'll turn it for good. He'll turn it for good. He'll turn it for good. Come here, kid. Come here. Give me your hand. Close your eyes. Wasn't your fault. Pastor Alex. Share.
When I was 14 years old, my dad passed away.
Can you turn him up, please? I can't hear. A little louder. One more time, when you were 14, sorry. Sorry.
When I was 14 years old, my dad passed away in an airplane accident. And along with my uncle and my two cousins. When that took place, it left a gaping hole, as you can imagine. And, you know, you go through life, you do your best to keep your head up. You do what you need to, and you try to go through grieving and go through the loss and find your way out of something like that. And I'll tell you what, I thought I had been healed. But I think it was 10 years or so after I had lost my dad, and I thought I had grieved all the way through and been healed of all that, you know, as a minister on staff in the church and gone through so much times. I've been through every encounter. I've been through 20 encounters by this time. And I remember having a dream one night where in the dream, I saw my dad I ran to my dad.
Wow.
And I embraced my dad, and he told me he loved me. And I woke up that morning completely different, completely healed of something I didn't even know was still kind of broken on the inside, still missing on the inside. And that was God giving me a moment where God just, every hole and every crevice, just with the love of God, completely filled every void in my life. And you know what's happened in the course of me coming to know the Lord is that God has brought people around me to fill that fatherly figure and to love him and to care and to give me wisdom and to rebuke me and to love me after being rebuked. And you know what? And one of those men is right here. And so if maybe you're suffering with maybe a similar thing, maybe you have a void on the inside, maybe there's something that's just slightly off, I just want to pray if I can and pray healing over people this morning. Maybe you miss your dad. Maybe your dad's
gone. Didn't you write a song about that?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Go ahead and pray. Then maybe you can sing it for us.
Sure.
Great.
But you know, maybe you've lost your dad. Maybe he's not here. Maybe you're estranged. Maybe you don't have a relationship with your dad. Maybe he's living and he doesn't want anything to do with you. You know what? God can still fill that void.
That's right.
So I want to pray, Father, I thank you that you are the perfect dad. And that though fathers on this earth may fail us, maybe they get taken from us, Lord, you're able to fill every void, every crack, every crevice. I pray healing over hearts this morning.
Yes, God.
Those who have lost their dads today, I pray healing over them. Maybe husbands that have been lost, that their children have been robbed of losing their dad, I pray healing over them as well.
Jesus.
And I pray, God, that you would come, you'd bring men around children, you'd bring men around young adults, you'd bring men around men to pour into these men and to love on them, and to care for them, and to impart into them. And so, Father, I pray complete and total healing over hearts today, those who are still grieving the loss. May they be made whole today in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Can you sing for us? I think you know that song I'm talking about, Pastor.
Is you are my goodness, you are my grace, I will sing to you, Father, the King of all things. You are, I am, who was and who is to come.
It's so simple. Sing it again. You are my goodness. Sing, you are my goodness.
And you are my goodness. You are my grace. I will sing to you, Father, the King of all things.
Be healed.
You are,
I am,
who was and who is to come.
You're here, you've never given your heart to Jesus. Before we close, we want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Christ for the very first time. Or perhaps you've given your heart to the Lord before, but you drifted. You're not as on fire as you used to be, and you know it. God is not the one that moves, we are. He's immutable, he's unchangeable, we drift. I invite you to return to your first love. I invite you to come home. Maybe you're here and you've been here, but you've lost, again, you lost your love, you lost your fire. All across this place, nobody moving around, please. It's not time to go to the restroom or be dismissed, we're almost done. Give me 60 seconds. Give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Number two, make a recommitment. Lift your hand to heaven if that's you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over. God bless you. Wonderful. Pray with me from your heart. Write out loud. Mean it. Write out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. And thank you that he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin and come into my heart. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands as a sign of surrender, like you're getting arrested. Lift your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, with every hand that's lifted, fill these with your precious Holy Spirit. Empower them to live a life of purpose and destiny. Empower these, breaking off every chain, breaking off every bondage, breaking off every curse and the sin that so easily ensnares. Release your power upon them and their family, on their father's side and their mother's side. I declare and prophesy the will of God to your whole family. Every single one saved, healed, and delivered. For it's this reason that you came, oh God, to set the captives free, to find those that are lost. And God, I pray for your power, the burden of the Lord, to leave the 99 to save the one. Give us souls, oh God. Give us souls. Help us to reach the lost and make disciples, God. We thank you so much for what you've done. Bless these families and all those online. Bless these people. Bless us, oh God. Bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon us. Lift up your countenance towards us. Be gracious to us. Keep us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.